Good morning, church. It's so lovely to see you. If you haven't greeted the person next to you, quickly greet them, say hello, tell them they look beautiful today. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much to our online guests. Thank you for joining us this morning as well. Shall we all stand? We're going to go into a time of worship. Yes, Father, thank you so much for your goodness and mercy that are running after us, Lord, that are always following us all the days of our lives. Father, we bless your name. We thank you that we get to sing a song of unity, and it's all for your glory and it's all for your honor. Father, thank you so much that you have revealed your life through your Son, that we may know you, that we may comprehend your love, Lord. Father, thank you that we stand here today surrendered, ready to worship you, ready to praise you, Lord. Thank you so much that we connect our hearts to the finished work of the cross, that we are living in your resurrection life, that we can leave the grave behind us and take hold of the future that you have for us. So, Father, we bless your name, we worship you, we sing with all that is within us, Lord, for you alone are worthy. We pray this in your holy name. And everyone says, amen, amen. So let's worship him. Let's bless his name. When I feel the fear come, I won't run away, even in valleys. Your presence is enough when I feel the shaking. Oh, I will stand my ground. Your presence is enough. You are with me. Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me. I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Oh, fear will never conquer me. I belong to Jesus. Yes, I do. When I feel the pressure, I won't run away, even in tension. Your presence is enough when I'm in the mystery. Oh, I will stand my ground. My God, you are enough. You are with me. You are with me. For me, fear will never conquer me. I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Oh, fear will never conquer me. I belong to Jesus. When the rain fell, when the floods came, when the wind blew, I was okay. You were right there. You're in every step I take. When the night falls, when my heart aches, if I stumble, I will not break. You'll be right there. You're in every step I take. When the rain falls, when the floods came, when the wind blew, I was okay. You were right there. You're in every step I take. When the night falls, when my heart aches, if I stumble, I will not break. You'll be right there. You're in every step I take. You're my shepherd.
Conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus.
fear you'll never conquer, fear you'll never conquer me. 'Cause I belong to Jesus, you are with me, for you are with me. Father, you're for me, fear will never conquer me. 'Cause I belong to Jesus, I'm never alone. Never abandoned, or fear you'll never conquer me. I belong to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're so grateful, Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, all my days, you've been faithful. All my days, you are able, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We lift up our worship to you alone, unto you alone. Thank you, Jesus. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of, fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, your syllable empty your voice. You have spoken, oh, nature and science, follow the sound of your voice. Oh, and as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you. So alive, I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, the canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so these
through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I
Yes, Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are holy, that we sing with all creation, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And Lord, we just thank you that we get to echo heaven today. Lord, we get to sing along with all of creation. Jesus, you are so wonderful. You are so beautiful. Lord, there is no one like you. There is no one like you, Jesus. And so, Lord, we just honor you this morning. We love you. We can't get enough of you. Lord, we just thank you. And all God's people say, amen. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, worship and production team. You're always such a blessing. And so you're welcome to greet the person next to you. Tell them how your weekend was. Great. Awesome. You can take the conversations to after the service. But it's great to be with you this morning. And what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. Come on. Amen. Amen, amen. And so just a small reminder, there is no food allowed in the auditorium. And if you could please silence all mobile devices. And so I have now the honor of welcoming all new guests. So if you are a new guest this morning, can you please raise your hand nice and high? Awesome. Can we give them a hand? Great. Awesome. Great. So we have a small gift for you. In fact, a slab of chocolate by the welcome desk so you can go and collect after the service. Great. And so for Kids Vine and Toddler Care, we have Kids Vine upstairs from the ages of 5 to 13 and Toddler Care from the ages of 2 to 4 to my left to your right in the iCafe. And so with that, we have a new numbering system. And so for parents with children under the age of 10, you'll be receiving a number when you sign in your child, and that same number you'll return when you pick up your child. And so this is just to ensure safety. And so I have now the honor and privilege of doing the offering message with you this morning. And so sometimes when we come to God, we come with the mindset of a slave. Someone that works hard, that toils for what he or she earns. Or we might come with the mindset of a beggar that begs for bread. Or someone that's a visitor that asks politely. But God is saying to you this morning in Luke 15 verse 31, son, my daughter, you are always with me, and all that is mine is now yours. Can you say that with me? All that is mine is now yours. Amen. And so take a look. Do you see, my son? Do you see the promises? It's yours. Take a look, my daughter, my princess. Do you see the kingdom? It's now yours. All has been paid for by my son, Jesus. And so you might have grown up hearing the words, no, all the time. But the good news is that in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, it says that all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus with a resounding yes. And so instead of expecting no, we can know that Jesus has paid for all and that the Father is saying yes to every promise. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so my final encouragement to you this morning is know your daddy. Know your daddy. If he were to give you his son, would he not freely give you all things? And so with that said, we don't work according to the world's currency, rather the currency of heaven. And so when we give, we don't give out of limited supply, but we give out of his endless riches. Amen. And so if you like to give, there is offering boxes at the back, as well as there's a number of ways you can find in the bulletin. And so now moving on to announcements, we have our annual general meeting taking place tomorrow night, the 18th of March. And so we want to encourage all members, in fact, anyone's welcome. But if you would join us, just finding out the finances and also just the heart of the church and where we're going. And so then Easter services, we'll be meeting on the 24th of March, the 29th of March, and then the 31st of March at 8:30 and 10. And so this is a great opportunity to invite friends that's unfamiliar with church and unfamiliar with the good news. And so reach out and invite those friends. And so then also exciting news, from the 2nd to the 10th of October, we are heading to Mozambique for a mission trip. Come on. So I'm very excited for that. And so the cost is 10,000 Rand with a deposit of 4,000 by the end of May. And so if you'd like to find out more info, you can contact me or you can sign up in the iCafe or at the iDesk. Great. And so then new merch is available for 220 Rand that you'll find in the iCafe. And so make sure to either purchase or order. And so we are moving on. And so you'll be watching a bumper video now. And then Jan is going to be sharing with you a powerful message. Enjoy.
Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to be in church with all you this morning. As Michael said, my name is Janu, and I have a privilege of sharing the word this morning. Just before we get into the word, I just want to mention a few things. First of all, Pastor Steve and Mama D are in Cape Town this weekend. Pastor Steve spoke at a men's conference yesterday. He's also preaching at a church there today. So they went to Cape Town for a ministry weekend, so they're not with us today. But then also, we had a team of 10 people who are going to Zambia on a mission trip. We're leaving this coming Friday and we'll be back the following Sunday. We're going to Lusaka and Livingston and we'll be partnering with a church called Miracle Life Family Church. So we're 4 members from the staff and 6 members of a church. So a group of 10. But please be praying for us. We're very excited, very expectant for this trip. And we believe many people will be reached for Jesus. Amen. And we also have this opportunity now to go to Mozambique. So it's wonderful to be a missional church, isn't it? And you can't say that we're not giving you an opportunity to go on a mission trip with us. We really want to encourage you. If you haven't been on a mission trip, please join one. It will change your life. I always tell people my favorite part of a mission trip is not the people that are getting reached. You know, praise God for that. That is wonderful. But my favorite part of a mission trip is what happens in the hearts of the people but actually go and preach the gospel and go out to mission. So it will change your life if you haven't been on a mission trip. So please consider joining us for the Mozambique trip. Then just an important announcement. On Saturday, 6 April, there will be a worship march going on in town. Our church will be part of it. We will meet at St. George's Church in town at 9 o'clock. We have some very excited people over here. That's wonderful. But it will be at 9 a.m. We'll meet at 9 a.m. at St. George's Church in town. And we'll have a quick worship session there, which our church will lead along with other churches. And then we'll march through town in the main street. It won't be long. It will be about an hour or so. But we want to, you know, encourage you to join that if you'd like to. The purpose is simply to worship Jesus together. You know, with the body of Christ, it's a great opportunity for unity to take place. We're going to try and invite as many churches and people, believers as possible. So our church didn't organize it, but we are going to participate in it. And we'll also share more details about that next week with you, but we wanted to let you know, Saturday, 6 April, please join us for that if you'd like to. Then this morning, I have a privilege of actually concluding our series on Much More, because our Easter series is starting next week. And I hope you've enjoyed the Much More series. I really believe it's been a blessing even to me as well. And, you know, something I've learned from Pastor Steve and something he always reminds me of is just the importance of, you know, having the right picture in your heart. Because sometimes, you know, we want to experience the increase that God has for us. We want to walk in the blessings that he has for us. But many times we need to see that in the inside before it will manifest on the outside. Excuse me. So I really believe this series has helped us to renew our minds too. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so easy. So we need to enlarge the picture we have on the inside. Small thinking can limit God. We read in the Bible that the Israelites limited God. And we can also limit him through unbelief or small thinking. So we need to make sure we have a much more mentality. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I would like to talk about the fact that God wants us to prosper in life. And I want us to look at three different reasons why God wants us to prosper. And I'm going to focus this morning on one of the benefits of prosperity. Notice I'm saying one of the benefits, because there are many benefits that come with the gospel. But I want to focus on finances this morning and look at reasons why God wants us to prosper financially in life. You know, if we don't know the reasons behind it and if we don't know the purpose of something, we can easily either abuse it or reject it. And when it comes to this topic on finances and financial prosperity, we are seeing it in the body of Christ, aren't we? There's abuse and there's rejection. And we also need to be mindful, you know, just because a certain church or a certain group of believers are abusing a message doesn't mean that there's not truth in the message. It seems to be human nature to like extremes. And we can so easily go from one extreme to the next extreme. A healthy balance is required in life. And I hope my message today will bring balance, because it is important to have a balanced approach when it comes to this topic. I also want to say that I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. And some of you might be thinking, well, you're going to preach on it today. Now I'm going to preach the gospel this morning. See, there's no such thing as the prosperity gospel. There's only the gospel, the one and only gospel. But one of the benefits of the gospel is prosperity. Now, it's important to know that, you know, because if you think prosperity is only about finances, as soon as you lose your money, you will feel like you're not prosperous anymore. Prosperity has to do with our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. And, you know, God has really given us everything we need in life in our spirits. And last week, Pastor Steve also preached on the fact that we already have the blessings and the promises on the inside of us. And he was referring to the fact that we already have it in our spirits. Sometimes it takes time to manifest, and sometimes it will only manifest if we believe in the natural, but it's already on the inside of us. And God has already given us the ability to prosper in life as well. But I heard a story of a Nigerian pastor who actually preached a balanced message, I believe, on prosperity. And after he preached the message, somebody came to him and said, well, you know, you're preaching this gospel that includes prosperity. And he said, yes, indeed. And the guy said to him, well, you know, that's just an American gospel. And the pastor looked at him and he said, well, you know, Jesus was not an American. So it's sometimes important to remember, you know, we think some of these things originated in America or in certain areas. But you'll see as I go through the word today that Jesus preached prosperity. And Jesus experienced God's abundant provision in his life and ministry. Now, Jesus and the early believers went through severe persecution, which I'll touch on today as well, and they suffered severely because of it, but they suffered because of persecution, not because God wanted them to suffer or God wanted them to experience lack. There's a difference, and I want you to know that. But this morning, we're going to look at one of the benefits of prosperity, or of the gospel, excuse me, and that is prosperity. God wants us to prosper in all areas, but also in the area of our finances. And 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." And the word prosper there means to be successful, to succeed, to grow or increase, to thrive or to make gain. So this shows us that Jesus really wants us to have a good journey in life. You know, Jesus said, I have come that you may have an abundant life. It seems like religion sometimes thinks that Jesus came to give us abundant lack. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have an abundant life. God wants us to prosper in life. And I love the meaning of this word because it also shows us God wants us to grow. He wants us to experience increase. And he wants us to thrive in life, not just survive. And that is what the much more life is all about. Thriving in life, not just surviving. So I want us to focus on 3 reasons this morning because, again, we need a balance. But the first reason why God wants us to prosper financially in life and why he provides for us is because he loves us. Amen. You know, there are other reasons too why God meets our needs and why he wants us to prosper. But the first reason and the most important reason is because he loves us. He's a good father. He cares about us. You know, he cares about the things we care about. And as earthly parents, we understand that, don't we? We also want to help our children. We also want to provide for them. Why? Because we love him. And God is a perfect father. Psalm 35 verse 27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Notice it gives God pleasure when his children prosper in life. He takes great delight in prospering us. He enjoys providing for us as a good father. Another translation reads, "May my friends sing and shout for joy. May they always say, praise the greatness of the Lord who loves to see his servants do well." You know, God loves it when we do well in life. Don't we also love it when our children do well as earthly parents? How much more God, who is a good father. In Matthew 7 verse 11, Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more?" We're doing a series on much more. This is a powerful much more verse. Jesus is saying, if you as earthly parents who aren't perfect, who sometimes make mistakes, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things and good gifts to those who ask him? How much more? Sometimes we have more confidence in our earthly parents to say yes than God saying yes. And it feels like I'm preaching part B of a message today because Michael already preached part A. But I love what he said this morning. You know, we should expect a yes from God because he's a good father. And as earthly parents, we love to provide for the needs of our children, don't we? And our children have needs. You know, now that I also have a boy, I know he needs clothes. He needs food. You know, he needs a Springbok rugby jersey. In my house, that's not a want. That's a need. But, you know, the point I'm just making is we love to provide for our children and meet their needs, don't we? How much more our Father, who is a perfect Father? And, you know, for our children as earthly parents, we meet their needs, but sometimes we also love to bless them with wants, desires, don't we? Now, is there a balance? Absolutely. We don't want them to have everything they want. We don't want them to get entitled. But we do love to sometimes spoil them simply because we love him. How much more God? In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Other translations say, "I have everything that I need." In my own life, I've experienced God being faithful all the time. Sometimes I've trusted him for specific provision or something I needed, and he provided it. But other times I've been blessed with things that I thought, "Lord, I didn't really believe you specifically for this, or I didn't trust you for this, or I didn't even ask you for this." And then the Lord would remind me that the Bible says these blessings would overtake you as you yield to the Lord, as you obey Him. God is a good Father. He wants to meet all of your needs, but sometimes He's just going to bless you because He can't help Himself. He's a good Father. And you know what I love about the fatherhood of God is, you know, it was not man's idea to call God Father. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see that God is not really referred to as a father in the Old Testament. And then Jesus came along, who knew the Father, and He's calling God Father all the time. And He said, you know, it's not just my Father, it's your Father too. And it shows God's heart. You know, He wants to be called Father. He wants to be our dad because nothing else will satisfy His heart and His desire to provide for us but also bless us in life. But sometimes it's so important for us just to remind ourselves that God loves us. He will take care of us. You know, we face things in life and, you know, we need provision and we get all worried and we forget that the creator of the universe is for us. And He loves us. And He delights in providing for us and seeing us prosper. So it's always important to remember the main reason why God wants us to prosper financially in all areas, but also financially, is because He loves us. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Now, some people will argue that is only talking about being spiritually poor. And I'm going to prove to you from Scripture now that it's not just about being spiritually poor. But let me also ask you, if you go to a poor person and you say to them, you need to remain poor, is that good news? Of course not. And Jesus said, I've come to bring you good news. That means you don't have to stay poor. You don't have to experience lack. Because God loves to provide for us and He's a God of abundance. But in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, Paul says the following. And if you read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 in context, you'll see those two chapters talk about finances. It talks about natural resources. And then in verse 9 of chapter 8, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." So we see here that this good news to the poor is not just talking to the spiritually poor. We were spiritually poor without Jesus. But it's also saying you don't have to be poor in your finances in life. And Paul is saying here, even though Jesus was rich as the Son of God and He experienced God's provision in His life and during His ministry on earth too, we'll look at that later. But even though He was rich, for our sakes, He became poor. So that we, through His poverty, might experience God's provision in life. So just like Jesus took sin so that we can be righteous, just like He took sickness so that we can be healed, He also took poverty on Himself so that we can experience God's provision in life. That is the good news to the poor. And you know, I read of a study where once that it was not a Christian study, it was a secular study. But through the study, they wanted to determine what is the worst form of poverty? Because obviously poverty is rampant everywhere. You know, different nations suffer with poverty. And they wanted to determine through a study, what is the worst form of poverty? And I don't know why they came to the conclusion, but after doing the study, they said the worst form of poverty is when you are thirsty and you are naked. Through the study, they said that is the worst form of poverty. And as I read it, I thought, well, Jesus was thirsty when He died for us. He asked for water and He was naked. So He took the worst kind of poverty on Himself so that we don't have to. Isn't the gospel good news? You know, in Psalm 103, it says, remember the benefits of the Lord. Not just the benefits. Sometimes we as Christians are very good at remembering the benefit of forgiveness of sin. And we should be, you know, very strong and rooted in that. It is good. But the Bible says, remember His benefits, plural. And one of those benefits that we have today is God's prosperity and provision in the area of finances. Jesus took our poverty, became poor, so that we don't have to. But the Bible also teaches that lack is a curse, and financial blessing or financial prosperity is a blessing. So that doesn't mean if you are experiencing lack at the moment, you're cursed. Absolutely not. Doesn't mean if you are experiencing lack, you're not godly. Absolutely not. Sometimes people with a lot of money are very wicked. We know that too. But the opposite is also true sometimes. So we learn from that that money is not the problem. It's really the heart that's the problem. Love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not moral or immoral. It's amoral. It becomes good or bad depending on whose hands it is in. It's the same thing with a weapon. A weapon is a bad thing in a criminal's hands, but it's a good thing in a policeman's hand. It's the same with money. That's why God wants money to be in the hands of believers. But it's also important for us to know from the Bible what God considers as a curse and what he considers as a blessing. Because we get teachings today, you know, where people call curses blessings or blessings in disguise. But it's not in the Word. And if you want to know what God considers as a blessing and what God considers as a curse, a chapter you can read is Deuteronomy 28. Because there we see the blessings and the curses of the law. Now, the good news is for us as believers under the New Testament, we have been redeemed through the curse of the law, through Jesus, from the curse of the law through Jesus. So whenever you read about the curses there in that chapter, you can rejoice and say, I have been redeemed from all of this because of Jesus. That's what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. But it's also good to see there what is actually a blessing and what is a curse. We see there, for example, that healing is a blessing. Sickness was a curse. Sickness has never been a blessing in disguise. And it's the same with poverty. We see there that it was a curse, not a blessing. And I just want to give you some examples. Verse 8, describing a blessing, says, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Does that sound like prosperity? Absolutely. It's a blessing. Then we read in verse 48, you will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. Does that sound like prosperity? No, that is lack, that is poverty, and that is described as a curse, which we have been redeemed from because Jesus became a curse for us. Isn't that good news? So we see here that poverty in and of itself is not holy. Again, you know, you can be a righteous person and you might struggle with poverty, absolutely. But we need to understand poverty in and of itself is not holy. It's not a blessing. I once had a discussion, I should call it a debate, with a fellow Afrikaner, a boer, a farmer. And ons Afrikaners kan partykeer baie trots wees. And I was chatting to this guy about the topic I'm preaching on today, and he was saying to me, he was arguing with me, and he was saying, Jano, you know, we might be poor, but we're proud. Het ons is arm, maar ons is trots op. And as I was talking to him, you know, the Holy Spirit, I believe, gave me some wisdom. And I said to him, well, I've got good news for you. God will deliver you from both. So what am I trying to say? I'm just saying, let's not view poverty as a holy thing. I'm also not saying if you have a lot, you're a holy person. Not necessarily. Again, we see some people who have a lot of money who are not godly. But poverty in and of itself is a curse. Financial provision is a blessing. And God being a good father and God loving us wants us to walk in his blessing. So another question people will ask is, you know, they'll say, well, that's great. You know, the Bible teaches God wants to bless us. But what about the early believers? They suffered. You know, they got thrown into prison. Paul even mentioned that he suffered with hungers and certain things. And that's a very good question because the early believers did suffer some of those things. But what we need to understand is they suffered persecution, not because God wanted them to experience lack. The Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You see, Jesus became sin, poverty, and sickness for us, but he didn't become persecution for us. We're not redeemed from that. And one of the reasons why is because God loves people who are doing the persecution. Think of the Apostle Paul. For a while, he was the persecutor. But because, you know, he saw the love in believers, because he got convicted, because Jesus appeared to him, he became a believer who God used so mightily. So we need to remember sometimes that, you know, we're not saved from the suffering of persecution. And as believers, we need to be ready for that. You know, praise God that South Africa is not, you know, experiencing severe persecution today. Because persecution doesn't come from God. It's evil. And persecution comes from for the gospel's sake. But even if it comes, and I actually want to say when it comes, we need to be ready as believers. And that's why we also need to view prosperity as not only being financially blessed. Because Paul was still a prosperous man in prison. That's why he was rejoicing all the time. But if we limit prosperity to only finances and persecution breaks out, we'll feel like we're not prospering anymore. That's not true. You know, we're prosperous because of who we know, the Lord Jesus. But persecution doesn't come from God. And while persecution is not that severe in our country, God wants us to prosper. You know, we can do a lot more good things when we have the resources and the means to do it. But the first reason why God wants us to prosper in life is because he loves us. And I just quickly want to share some examples with you from the Word, just to show you how Jesus and the Apostle Paul experienced God's provision. Because even in the midst of persecution going on, God still provided for his people. He still blessed his people because he loved them and he loves us. But you know, the Bible says Judas was the treasurer for the ministry of Jesus. He had the money box with him. Now, first of all, if you don't have any money, you don't need a treasurer. It's a waste of time. Then secondly, think about it. If I give you my wallet today and I only have 100 or 200 rand notes in there and you take it out, will I notice? Of course. It's only 1 or 2. It's not that difficult to notice if you take it out. But if I give you a full bag of money before I actually count it, and you put your hand in there and take a nice step, I might not recognize it because it's a lot of money. So for Judas to be able to, you know, take a tip every now and then, quite often the Bible says, out of the ministry funds of Jesus, it shows there was a lot of money there. God provided for the ministry of Jesus. The disciples and Jesus didn't experience lack. God always provided because he loved them just like he loves us. People will say, Yanu, Jesus rode on a donkey. He didn't ride in a car or he didn't fly in an airplane. Yes, because at the time they didn't have cars or airplanes. And it's also interesting to note, you know, when Jesus wanted the donkey, he gave his disciples very specific instructions about where to get it and how to find it, which shows it wasn't an old used donkey. It was a nice fresh baby. You know, sometimes we read things and we see, you know, Jesus as this poor person. From his birth, you know, through the gifts that, you know, God sent through the wise men, he experienced God's provision. More than enough, much more throughout his life. There are even indications in the Word that Jesus had his own house. And in Acts 28 verse 30, it says about Paul, it says, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. So for 2 years, he had his own rented house. Now, when you rent a house, you need to pay for it. And when you receive people into your house, you need to entertain them. Make them coffee. Cook them food. You can't do that if you don't have money. The Bible says for 2 years, Paul rented his own house and he received people who came to him. So God provided for Paul too. Did Paul experience a lot of suffering? My goodness, you know, in 2 Corinthians 11, we read about his infirmities, yet he calls them his light infirmities. What a perspective a man had. You know, it's incredible because for most of us, that's not very light, infirmities and afflictions. But yet throughout, the grace of God was enough for Paul and, you know, God provided for him. I just quickly want to touch on this and I just feel led by the Holy Spirit to do so. People will say, well, Paul's thorn in the flesh was poverty and sickness. You know, how people can come up with that, I have no idea. Because Paul mentions his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In the chapter prior to that, in chapter 11, he mentions his infirmities that he suffered. And all of those infirmities had to do with persecution. All of them. And even in the Bible, in the Old Testament, whenever they used the word thorn in the flesh, they referred to persecution through a person or a group of people persecuting them. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not this terrible sickness or poverty that God wanted him to face. It was persecution for the gospel's sake that came from Satan, the Bible says. And the reason why God didn't take it away was because we're not saved from persecution. But God had promised him, my grace will be enough for you. And God continued to use him. God continued to provide for him. But God wants to prosper us because he loves us. He's a good father. The second reason why God wants to prosper us financially in life is so that we can be a blessing. It's not just for us. It's so that we can be a blessing. In Genesis 12 verse 2, God told Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. So from the very beginning, we see God reminding his people, I'm blessing you so that you can also be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. But again, you've heard this before in this series, but it's difficult to be a blessing if you're not blessed. You know, the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 was able to pay for the inn where the guy stayed at and to pay for his care. If he didn't have a means to pay for it, we probably would have referred to him as the man with the good intentions, not the Good Samaritan. Now, good intentions are great, but I'm just saying good intentions might not bless other people. You know, sometimes we need resources. We need to have a means to be a blessing and make a difference. And God wants to bless us so that we can also be a blessing. In 1 Timothy 6, from the 17 to 19, Paul told Timothy, who was pastoring the church at Ephesus, he says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. So this is a wonderful scripture. And when Paul calls these people rich, the Greek word for rich was a very old Greek word that described someone who possessed incredible abundance, extreme wealth, and enormous affluence. So when Paul says here, charge those or teach those who are rich, he's not just talking about the average person here. He's talking about those who are really rich financially. But you know, it's sometimes important to know what the Bible is not saying, as important as it is to know what it is saying. Because notice Paul is giving them certain warnings here, certain commandments we could argue, but he's not saying they're in sin. He's not telling Timothy to tell the ones who are very wealthy that they're living in sin, they're evil, and they just need to give everything away. He's not saying that. He's saying, tell them they should not trust in their riches. And that's a warning for all of us. Riches is uncertain. It can be taken away any moment. Trust in God. See him as your source. And then he says, you know, don't just be rich in resources. Be rich in good works as well. Blessed to be a blessing. Be ready to share with others. So he's reminding us here that we need to be generous, but he's not saying God does not want us to be rich. He's not saying it's wrong. Paul is just saying, be blessed to be a blessing. And when he uses the words ready to share with others, some translations say willing to share, it comes from a single Greek word, which was a compound word, koinonikos. And that word describes a person who is a champion at sharing what he owns. So when Paul tells, you know, the rich to be willing to share, he's telling them, be champion givers. Now, some Christians today are champion takers, aren't they? And you know, when it comes to our relationship with God, we definitely have to be champion receivers, because God loves to bless us, doesn't he? But let's also be champion givers, generous. We're blessed to be a blessing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 and 10, Paul says, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." That's the will of God. Much more. Enough and extra. When he says in verse 10, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Seed to sow, bread to eat. Bread is for us. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." God wants us to increase in our resources and in being generous. Are you trusting him to increase in your resources so that you can also increase in being generous? That is God's will for us. I love what Dave Ramsey said. He said, "Giving is the most fun you'll ever have with money. It's addictive in the best way possible." Mark Hankin said, "If you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit." And you will struggle to outgive God in life. And I want to encourage those of you who might not have a lot to give to still be generous. You know, sometimes for me too, I would like to be a lot more generous than what I'm able to currently, but I still try to be generous. Because some people think I'm going to be generous when I have more. But sometimes we have to learn to be generous with less so that we can also be generous when we have more. Be generous with what you have. Don't wait to have a lot to be generous. Be generous with your time, your encouragement, with serving others, and then give what you can. But God provides for us. He wants us to prosper so that we can be a blessing in life. Amen? Then the last reason I want to touch on this morning is God wants to prosper us so that we can finance the gospel and advance God's kingdom. You know, God doesn't really need us to do that, but he wants us to do that. And he wants us to partner with him. You know, it takes money to reach the world with the gospel. In Luke 16, verse 9, Jesus said, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, make friends for yourselves. That means influence people. Through what? Through unrighteous mammon. That is talking about money. It's not saying money is evil. It's just referred to as unrighteous mammon because in and of itself, it has no eternal value. But then he's saying, use that to influence people so that when you fail, the Greek word for fail means to die. When you die, they will receive you into everlasting homes. What does that mean? It means when you give into the kingdom, when you give to a local church or a missionary or a missions organization and they touch people, those people will one day come to you and thank you for what you did. They will invite you into everlasting homes. Now, we might have some Christians one day who will be in heaven because they received Jesus, and heaven is all about the grace of God. It's not a reward. And they'll have their mansion, you know, in heaven, but they might not have any people coming to their mansion to thank them. And I don't know about you, but I want to use money to make a difference in eternity. You can't take money with you to heaven, but you can do something with your money on earth that you can take to eternity. When you sow it into God's kingdom and use your money to advance the message of the gospel in the earth. So, you know, we want to give and we want to support, the mission that God has given us. But a question people also ask, and I'll end with this today, is where should I give? There's so many good places to give. And I just want to remind you this morning to give where you are being fed and led, not where you are being begged. We should give where we are being fed spiritually and where the Holy Spirit leads us to give. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit might lead you to give to a missionary or a missions organization that might not feed you spiritually, but they're going to feed others spiritually. So give where you are being fed and where the Holy Spirit leads you, not where you are being begged. You know, if I go to the fresh shop here at Caltex and I order a chicken fillet burger, I don't care if KFC comes into the street with a microphone and starts begging me to give them money. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pay at Caltex. And unfortunately, you know, in the body of Christ today, sometimes people give where they are being begged, not where they are being fed spiritually. And you know, it's biblical, and I want to read some scriptures to you, just two verses that confirm this. 1 Corinthians 9:14 says, in the same way the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it, those who are being fed from it. Galatians 6, verse 6 says, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. And in the context here, we're not talking about a specific person, but if this church is feeding you spiritually, it's good and biblical for you to give to this church. You know, I had a chat with a guy once. He's not in our church anymore. He used to come, and bless his heart, I love a guy. But he was saying to me, you know, he doesn't like the fact that our church asks money, asks people for money. He said the church where he came from never asked for money. I said, well, you know, our church also doesn't ask for money. And he looked at me like some of you are looking at me now. He said, well, you know, every Sunday you have your offering scripture. Every Sunday you have offering boxes. I said, yes. I said, but we're not begging. We're giving people an opportunity to give. There's a big difference. God is our source. He will provide. But the Bible teaches it's good to give where we are being fed spiritually. And you might think that, you know, you giving or you giving a little what you can doesn't make a difference. But God also looks at the motive. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. You know, and as a church, please come to the AGM if you want to learn more. But in our new budget, you know, we're planning to allocate 30% of our income to missions and other missionaries. So 11% of that we'll give completely away. So we're also tithing as a church. But the rest will go to missions and church plants and outreach activities that we do as a church too. So we're not asking you to do anything that we're not willing to do. But you know, it's a privilege. For me, it's exciting to know I can partner with ministries and I can do something with my money that can have an eternal value. Money in of itself does not have an eternal value, but you can do something with it that can turn it into something like that. What a privilege, what an honor. And for me, it really causes me to give cheerfully into the kingdom. So I want you to remember today that God wants us to prosper financially in life because He loves us. He's a good Father. He takes great delight in blessing us and meeting our needs. Then I also want you to remember that we're blessed to be a blessing. It's not just for us to live fancy lives. It's so that we can be a blessing to others. And then lastly, God wants us to prosper. He gives us seed to sow so that we can give it into the kingdom, so that His kingdom can be advanced on the earth, and so that the message of the gospel can get spread and more people can come to know Jesus. Amen. Can I please ask you to stand for a moment? As you stand, can I ask you to close your eyes? And as you close your eyes, I just want to give you an opportunity to focus on the Holy Spirit. I just believe the Lord wants to remind some of you that He loves you. And I even feel for some of you who feel like you have enough, the Lord is saying, don't limit me. Trust me for more so that I can do more through you. If God can get it through you, He'll get it to you. But trust Him for it. Ask Him for it. And I just feel so strongly that the Lord wants some of you to know that you are loved. Maybe you've looked at other Christians and you've seen them get blessed and you thought, well, maybe God has favorites. And that's not true. You know, the truth is life is not always fair. Sometimes people use their free will to do things that will affect us and hurt us. But it's not God. He's a good Father. See Him as a good Father. He desires to bless you. I even sense that some of you lost money. I don't know if it's through a scam or what, but I just feel God wants to bring restoration to you. even those of you who have made financial mistakes, you've made decisions that have caused you to lose money and it was your fault, God is saying, doesn't matter. I rejoice in redeeming your life from destruction. You know, money is unreliable. See Him as your source. Trust Him for the restoration. You still have Him. And He wants to bring that restoration into your life. And when God restores something, He won't just make it as good as it was before it got affected. He'll make it better. Trust Him for it. Now I would like to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you have financial needs, even if you need a financial miracle, we know God's best is for us to live in the blessing. But He also loves to give us a miracle when we need it. But if you are in need of a financial miracle, or you simply know in your heart you're not experiencing God's best in this area, I want you to agree with me now in prayer. You don't have to raise your hand, but as I pray a scriptural prayer, I want you to agree with it in your heart. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, when you pray, believe you receive and you will have it. Don't believe when you see it. When you pray, believe you receive. That word receive means to take it. Take it now. And then you will see it in the natural. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for being a good Father. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for providing for us, prospering us. Thank You for all the wonderful benefits of a gospel. Thank You, Lord, that we can know from Your word, financial prosperity is one of those benefits. And we don't want to miss out on any good thing that You have for us in life. But I want to pray for people now, Lord, who might need a financial miracle. I pray that You will meet their needs according to Your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank You for providing for them, helping them, bringing them the finances that they need, Lord. We ask You for it. We believe we receive it now in Jesus' name. I speak the blessing of the Lord who makes us rich with no sorrow attached to it over people today in Jesus' name. Help us to increase. Help us to trust You for it. We don't want to limit You in any way. Thank You, Lord. Help us to live in Your blessing. And I even pray for people right now, Lord, who might feel like they already have enough. But You just stir them, Lord, to trust You for even more so that they can be an even bigger blessing. Help us to always be blessed to be a blessing. Help us to be generous. Help us to get addicted to giving, Lord. We know You will support that habit. Thank You, Lord. We speak blessing and increase over people today in the name of Jesus. And if you came today and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. It will be the best decision you can ever make in life. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't know Jesus, you're not a prosperous person. So if you'd like to say yes to Him, if you'd like to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, maybe you've known a lot about Him, but you don't know Him personally, I want to give you an opportunity to do that now. To receive Him as your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to lead you into a prayer. Anyone here today would like to receive Jesus? Thank you. People watching online, you're welcome to respond as well and pray with us. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I'm going to ask all of you raised your hands just to pray after me and pray this from your heart. And I'm going to ask the rest of our church family just to join them. And let's pray this from our hearts and just say, Lord Jesus, thank You for who You are. Thank You for becoming sin. Thank You for becoming sickness. Thank You for becoming poverty so that I don't have to. I choose today to receive You as my Lord and Savior. I want to receive Your forgiveness. I want to belong to You. And I want to follow You. In Jesus' name. Father, we celebrate with people who said yes to You for the first time today. Thank You, Lord, for the best decision they could ever make in life. Thank You that they just made that decision. We celebrate with them. And we thank You for Your blessing. We thank You for who You are. And we thank You for the increase that You have for us because You love us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you raised your hand today, there's a sign at the back that says, what now? Please go to that sign. Someone will just bless you with a booklet that will help you in your journey. If you need prayer or ministry, please come to the front. We'll have a wonderful ministry team here that would love to pray for you and with you. Thank you for coming to church today. You are highly favored and deeply loved. God bless you.